take your Bibles out once again, if you would, to Revelation. You thought I was going to say Genesis, didn't you? To Revelation. We just finished up Genesis, and now we're going to tackle the end of the book. Can't beat those two books, can you? The beginning and the end. They're both wonderful to study. And I thank the Lord that we can take the time to do that. We're going to be looking at the introduction to the book of Revelation this morning, verses 1 through 8 of chapter 1. It's on page 905 in the Pew Bible. If you need to take the Pew Bible out, please feel free to do that. And I've titled this series of message, The Apocalypse of the Almighty. The Apocalypse of the Almighty. Are you familiar with that word, Almighty? Who is the God that reveals himself in the Old Testament? El Shaddai, God Almighty. And who is that very same God that reveals himself in the book of Revelation? God Almighty. It's the same God. And I thank the Lord that he has the power to begin it, and he has the power to bring it to his end, because he is Almighty. Well, the main lesson that we're taking with us this morning is that the church must remain vigilant, following Christ in a hostile world while we live in the hope of his second advent. Okay? All those things are important. Remain vigilant in this hostile world while we live in the hope of Jesus' return. And those things are possible for the church to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. After church, where she had been taught about the rapture, a little girl was quizzing her mother, "Mama, do you believe Jesus will come back?" "Yes." "Could he come today?" "Yes." "In a few minutes?" "Yes, dear." "Mama, would you comb my hair?" The doctrine of the imminent return of Jesus Christ is emboldened in the book of Revelation. And hopefully that will motivate us to be ready today in the twinkling of an eye for his return. The scripture reveals Jesus' second advent as being soon. We're going to look at that Greek word this morning. And this revelation is meant to help us to be vigilant, to be prepared, to be looking for him to come at any moment. Listen, there's no time to take a break from following and serving the Lord. He will return, and when he does, may we be found faithful to him. Let's be ready. Are we ready? This morning, as we study the introduction to the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse of the Almighty, as we study end times, we're going to see three things. First, we're going to see its apocalyptic nature. Secondly, we're going to see its acknowledgement of the Trinity. And thirdly, we're going to see the amen of Christ's work. So, first point this morning, covering verses 1 through 3, is that it's the apocalyptic nature of the revelation. Look at verses 1 through 3 with me. Gordon just read these verses to you, but I would like to take time to read them again, because the Bible says when you read the Word of God aloud, you're blessed. And I want us to be twice blessed this morning. Amen? So, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. It's soon. It's near. The time is near. Well, once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful once again for this, your word, this, your revelation. And we thank you, Lord, that we are going to see all that was bore witness of the word and the testimony of Jesus Christ through the angel giving it to John as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we can take it from just these verses that what follows is the very word of the Almighty. And because we know that you are the Almighty, we know that every word will be fulfilled soon, for the time is near. And so, Father, as assured as we are of the fulfillment of your word, help us to be that sure that we are ready when Christ does return. Nothing else matters in all eternity. And so, Father, give us ears to hear today. Give us eyes to see. And give us a taste for the treasure of this your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, this is a rhetorical question, but do you want to know the future? Yes? No? Maybe? Do you want to know the future? There is not a lack of for people wanting to know the future, is there? There is major industry that makes major money when it comes to people trying to know their future. But they're looking in all the wrong places and spending lots of money getting false news. The only person that we can look to for the future and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that future will be fulfilled is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you want to know the future, right here it is before you. It's in the book of Revelation, the very future of the way God will bring to an end this current world and everything about it. Now, I'm not going to say that when we get to the end that we'll completely understand everything, but we're going to know what he says about it, and as he wills, we will be enlightened to understand it. But the significance to the book of Revelation is this, that because we know God has a plan for the future to bring all things to his end, we had better be ready. That's the main thing. We had better be ready because it's going to happen. There's only one place to look and to know the future, and that is to the God of the Bible and to his word. In Isaiah chapter 45, he says this, "Declare and present your case. Let them take counsel together. Who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me." You see, when people look to the future, they're really looking to God for that future, but they're looking at false gods for the future because only God knows the end from the beginning. That's what he's telling us here in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 46, he also says this, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose." This morning, we begin our study of the apocalypse of the Almighty because we want to know the future. And rightly so, we are looking to the God who holds the future in his hands as he's revealed the future in his word. And this is not just the church's future. This is the whole world's future. This is not just believers' future. This is the unbelievers' future. It is the unholy Trinity's future. God holds it all together through Christ Jesus, and it's him who's going to bring it to an end. And I'm so thankful that I know what the end holds, aren't you? Why? Because it helps me live today in hope and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So when it comes to the apocalyptic nature of the Revelation, verses 1 through 3 suggest these things. The first thing that these verses suggest is this. This is a learning letter from Christ. The first part of verse 1 says this. This is a learning letter from Christ. First part of verse 1. John tells us the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, why? To show to his servants the things that must soon take place. So this is a learning letter. We're to learn something. What is it that we're to learn? We're to learn what soon must take place. First, let me draw your attention to the word revelation. The word revelation comes from the Greek word apokalypsis. What English word do we get from that? Apocalypse. Apocalypse, apocalyptic. That's where we get our English word. And this Greek word means to become visible. So something God has held closed, He now reveals it and makes it visible that we can learn what will soon take place. That's what this means, the book of Revelation. It's revealing the invisible. Revealing the invisible. Making something known that wasn't known before. The apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the Almighty, He's going to reveal these things to His servants, that which was once concealed and will soon take place. So God has revealed to us, the reader of Scripture, what He's about to do. What He's about to do some future historical day. And what a day that will be. It'd be a good day for us. Amen? But just as good a day as it's going to be for us, it's going to be a very, very, very bad day for the unrepentant, for the sinner. It's going to be a bad day. A day of mourning and weeping, which makes our jobs all the more important today to be speaking the gospel to a lost and dying world that they may be ready to for His imminent return. Are we speaking the gospel? God has revealed that this revelation is from Him and it will take place. And this revelation helps us to have hope for the future. Hope for the future. But it's not meant to make us so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, as one theologian said. We must remain vigilant in the time that we have, following Christ and serving Him in this hostile world. It is about Christ coming back. It is about the end times, but it's also about encouraging the church to stand firm today. That's what it's about. That we have this blessed hope of the future, that we stand firm in this hostile world. Notice it was God who gave this revelation to Christ. The first part of verse 1 says, which God gave Him, Christ. It has its origin in the Father. It has its origin in the Father. Therefore, we can know for sure and for certain that it will come about. Why? Because God always keeps His word. Is there any doubt about that since we've studied Genesis? If there is, you need to go back and look at your notes. Because that's one thing you should be assured of after studying the book of Genesis, is that God is a God who always keeps His word to His people. And I'm so thankful for that. Above all, this revelation is of Jesus Christ. It's about Him. It reveals Him to His bride, the church. But not as the Gospels did, not as Matthew and Mark and Luke and John did, or rather Matthew and Luke, in that Christ came lowly, lying in a manger as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes that first Advent. No, 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 no. This revelation, this gospel, reveals Christ as the one who is exalted above all the world because He has all power. He is the exalted ruler of the world. He is the conquering King of the world. And this is the Christ that is revealed in the second Advent that Revelation teaches us. No longer humble and mild. One theologian says He is frighteningly beautiful. He is ferociously magnificent, and He is fearlessly majestic. That's who Christ is. That's Christ of the revelation. And look with me. Who are the recipients of this revelation of Jesus Christ? Who are the recipients? The Bible says in verse 1, to show to His servants. servants. Are you a servant of Christ? Because that's who this is to. You see, it says something about being a Christian, doesn't it? It says something about being a Christian. Christians are those who serve the Lord. This Greek word, doulos, it's a special kind of servant that is being talked about here. Dr. MacArthur says this, the doulos was a special type of slave who served out of love and devotion to his master. Are you a doulos of Christ? Do you serve him out of love and devotion? You see, God has given this revelation of his Son to believers, to the servants of Christ, to the church, those who lovingly and those who willingly serve Christ Jesus. Are you that servant? It's important that we know what the future holds so that we know who's telling us a lie. Amen? It's important that we know what the future holds according to God's word because we can then distinguish what the Antichrist says the future is. It's important that we know what the future holds because it gives us motivation to be vigilant and to serve with hope for that very day that will soon come. And so we can trust our Lord and Master with our future while we lovingly serve Him today. And that's what we're going to learn in the book of Revelation. God, in His infinite wisdom, He wants the church to know what soon will take place. The things, verse 1 says, the things that must soon take place. This word show, and I'm not going to try to say the Greek word because it might sound bad, because I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but this Greek word translated show in the English, it means to draw attention to, it means to point out, it means to make known, it means to exhibit something. You know, I love when God shows me things, don't you? And God is showing us something very important in this study of the book of Revelation. He's showing us how He's going to bring all things to an end and really a new beginning. Amen. Amen. He wants us to learn about the future that He has planned for His bride. Who's His bride? The church. Who's His church? Somebody take your finger like this. Take it like this. Do it. Do it. Do it. Then go like this. Me. Make it personal. Make it personal. He wants me to know my future. Isn't that wonderful? Does that not make you feel good? If that doesn't make you feel good, something's wrong with you. Get along. Is something wrong with you? Get along. This is a hopeful message that we are enduring to take a journey on. Don't forget that, church. Of all the people in all the world, in all the lands, no matter where it is, the church should be the most hopeful people of all. Are you? Are you? Because God wants to show you something. He wants you to learn something. So read these pages knowing that God is showing us future events that will most certainly take place soon. These events have already been written on the pages of history. And if since they're already written on the pages of history, guess what? They will soon take place. As sure as the world's round, they're going to take place. Now, I hope I don't have any flat earthers in here. Another word we see here in the text is this word soon. Soon. This Greek word speaks to the nearness of Jesus' second coming. Another word we could use is the imminent return of Jesus Christ. The imminent return. Lately, one of the reasons why we're doing this study again is because I've been asked by more and more of you, do I believe that the end is near? Do I believe that Jesus is soon to come back? And my answer is just this, yes. Why is it yes, Pastor David? Because that's what the Bible says. That's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says that this will soon take place. And this speaks to the nearness of Jesus' second coming. Now, you say, well, that's not what soon means to me, Pastor. Well, who cares what it means to you? It really only matters what it means to God. You see, 1,000 years is but a day to God, and a day is but 1,000 years to Him. His soon ain't my soon. And it's not yours probably either. You see, His soon has already been going for over 2,000 years. You do realize that we have been living in the end time since Jesus went up to heaven. And since then, He's been on His way back. So you ask me, is Jesus coming back? Yeah, and soon. Well, how soon is soon? Ask the Lord, I don't know. But I do know this, it's near, because that's what the Bible says. It's near. It's near. Are you ready? It's near. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Could be the day after. Could be 1,000 years from now. But it's going to be here soon. Soon. So that means we better live like it is today. Right? We better live like it is today. Oh, church family, when's Jesus coming back? Soon. Soon. In my mind, the notion of His second coming being soon, the second advent being soon, it's meant to help me. It's meant to help you. It's meant to help the bride to be vigilant today about serving the Father lovingly and willingly. You know, it shouldn't be like pulling teeth to get a Christian to serve the Lord. Can I get an amen? Why? Because Jesus may come back soon. The nominating committee should have just people falling at our feet every year. I'll do it, Pastor David. I'll do that, Pastor David. I'm here, I'll serve. Might get hard, might get tough. Somebody may hurt your feelings. I'll serve Jesus, Pastor David. Because I don't know when I'm not going to be able to. I can do it while I can, but there's going to be some day that I know I can't. Because either my head's going to go or my body's going to go. One or the other. That's the way it always goes, church family. In the 15, 17, going on 18 years now I've been here, I've seen things happen two ways. The body stays and the mind's blown. Or the mind stays and the body's blown. That's the only two ways that I've ever seen it. Pastors, can I get an amen on that? Isn't that the way y'all seen it go? It doesn't go any other way. You know, one day you're going to wake up, you're going to be, well, one day you're going to wake up, you go, oh, I can't do this anymore. And one day, you're not going to be able to. So make sure you do when you can. Because Jesus is on the way. May we be found lovingly and willingly serving Him to the best of our ability. Is Jesus coming back? Yep. When? Soon. Soon. Well, I about preached that point to death. Let me keep going. The next thing that we see here when it comes to the apocalyptic nature of the book of Revelation is this. Not only is this a learning letter, but this is a linked-in letter. Look at the second part of verse 1 through 2. He made it known by sending His angel to His servant John, who bore witness to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. So this letter links us into the divine plan of God for the future. Do you see that? That's what we're seeing here. This is a linked-in letter. Who's it linked into? It's linked into the very heart and the head of God. That's who it's linked into. When we read it, we get linked into the mystery of God's will set forth in Christ, that in the fullness of time, He will unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. We get a direct link to the mind of God. And the great thing is God made it known to His angels, who then made it known to John the Revelator, and John's got a big mouth. He wrote the gospel, the three epistles, and the Revelation. God must have recruited him because he had such a big mouth. He just had to speak for God as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful that he did. Through John, the Holy Spirit, this angel, we have been linked in to the very mind of God. And God has determined to make known what he wants to make known about the end times, and he wants to make it known to you and to I. And that's why we study the book of Revelation, so we can know the mind and the will of God concerning end times. That's why. Now again, I can't say for sure and for certain that when we get through with this, we're going to be able to nail it down all the way. But we're going to get a whole lot closer, hopefully, than we are now. Amen? Because we are getting linked in to the mind of God. That's the apocalyptic nature here of the book of Revelation. That we're getting direct information from God to the church. Now there's a third reason, or a third thing about the apocalyptic nature of the book of Revelation. You're going to all love this. Not only is it a learning letter, not only is it a linked-in letter, but it's a love letter. Look at verse 3. Blessed. Now stop there just a moment. Don't you just love to be blessed? I know I do. And there's a saying that I have borrowed from another pastor. When somebody wants to come and bless me, you know what I say to them? Oh, don't do that. Don't ever say that. You say, I'm going to receive that blessing. That's what my pastor friend says. He said, I'm going to receive that blessing. Now, listen, blessed. A love letter from Christ to his church. Blessed. Receive the blessing. Receive it. Read it. Know it. Live it. He says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. There is a promise of blessing to those who read aloud the words of prophecy. I know what you're going to do when you go home today. Every one of you, you're going to go somewhere, you're going to read out loud the Word of God. Why? Because you want to receive what? The blessing of God. Don't go to your quiet prayer closet. Go outside on the porch and just start reading. Maybe a neighbor will hear it and they'll want to know about it. Read aloud. Why do we read the Word of God at church? You tell me. We want what? The blessing of God. We are blessed because we have the Word of God. And we're twice blessed when we hear the Word of God and obey it. That's what the Bible's teaching us right here. So, blessed. This from the biblical perspective, I got this from one of my Bible books. It says this, from the biblical perspective, this Greek word describes the person who is free, listen, free from daily cares. Oh, I'd love to be that person, wouldn't you? Free from daily cares and worries because their every breath and circumstances they know are in the hands of God, who gives them assurance of the future. How many of us worry about the future? And most of us worry about a future that will never come to be. And we're robbed of the blessing of knowing the future that God will make happen. Blessed, blessed. This word describes the kind of happiness that comes from receiving divine favor. And I want to say this to you, church family, because this is a love letter from Christ. And I believe I can say this to you. If my other two pastor friends would back me up on this or say, I'd appreciate it. You are under the divine favor of God. You're blessed. Amen? Amen. Isn't that a wonderful, lovely thing to say to your bride in this love letter to the church? It's by the divine favor of God that He gives us His Word. And so let's not miss out on the blessing that comes when we read it aloud, when we obey it, and when we hear it. You see, we are His flock, and He is our shepherd. And His plan is to guide us into the green pastures of the future that He wants to give us. And that's what He's telling us here in this wonderful love letter. But the blessing isn't just for the future. The blessing is for today. Rest in the assurance that God holds your future in His hands. Be blessed. Be blessed. Just receive that blessing. So what we've seen this morning is the apocalyptic nature of the Revelation. And I tried to point out three things about that apocalyptic nature. The first was this. This is a learning letter from Christ. He wants us to learn something. Secondly, this is a LinkedIn letter from Christ. Who is its author? Christ, God Almighty. And the third thing is that this is a love letter from Christ. He wants to bless us, and He will. Amen? The great preacher F.B. Meyer once asked D.L. Moody, "What is the secret of your success?" And Moody replied, "For many years, I have never given an address without the consciousness that the Lord may come before I have finished." Have any of you ever thought about that when I'm preaching? Boy, I wish Jesus would come on. Here's a few things I want to close with. So ladies, y'all can come on in. Here's a few things that I want to close with. Number one, we can count on the Almighty fulfilling His Word. Amen? Amen. So be it. And the other thing, because we can count on the Almighty fulfilling His Word, we need to be ready. And that's what the apocalyptic nature of the revelation of the Almighty teaches us. Christ will return for sure and for certain. Now we need to be ready. And so I'm going to close with this question. It's an important question. Are we personally ready if Christ came today? Because that's all that really matters for all eternity. Are you ready? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation? Have you repented of your sins? And are you trusting in Him and His righteousness? When you stand before the throne of God, are you? Have you? And if you are, you're ready. But if you've done that, the other part of that is Christ doesn't want just simply to be your Savior. The Bible tells us that Christ wants to be your Lord. Another word, Master. Who was this to? His servants. And who are His servants? The doulos, those who lovingly and willingly serve Him. Are you ready? If not, you can be. And that's the great news, because today is the day of salvation, and His invitation stands open to anyone and everyone. Come unto Him, all who are weary and heavy laden, and He will give you rest. Is there anyone here today that needs to come and receive His invitation for rest? Here in person, online, wherever you're at, are we ready? Because that's all that matters in all of eternity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm so glad that I can confidently say that those who place their faith in Christ and repent of their sins are ready. Praise you, Father. We're not ready because of anything we've done, but we're ready because everything that you've done. You're the one who has given the sacrifice, that of your Son. You're the one who raised him from the dead on the third day, according to the Scriptures. You are the one who has reached out to us blind sinners wandering around, for we couldn't find you, but you come and you found us. And you found us just as we were, sinners, weak and lowly. And you came to us and you offered us life and life everlasting. And I thank you, Lord, that that life doesn't start in eternity, but it begins the very moment we are born again of the Holy Spirit and place our faith in Christ and repent of our sins. So, Lord, help us to live well the days that you have given us, that we are ready at any moment for your Son's imminent return. In Jesus' name, I pray. And all God's people said, amen.